Good morning. I'd like to say that ever since I very first got up and give the first lesson, I've never been real excited about getting up speaking. It's always been a little nerve-wracking, but I can say this morning I was anxious to get up here, mainly to get rid of that mask. So, but I also got to be careful that we don't start murmuring. We'll get through this. Whatever, how long it takes, and it's a blessing just to be able to come out and to serve God. It's a wonderful blessing that we enjoy in Christ, a fellowship to be with other Christians. I'd like to thank Steve for leading that song. I asked him to do that. If you've got a really, really good memory, about 9 years ago, I gave this lesson, and you've got a real good remember, you'll notice I've got more papers now than I did then. Not because I got more to say, it's the type's bigger, so I can see it. You know, I'm sure we've all heard the saying that the United States is the melting pot of the world. The church is the melting pot where sinners who have had their sins washed away come together. Acts 2:47. The Lord added to the church those who were saved. Also, 1 Corinthians 1, 21 through 24. For that, after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, and to the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Gentiles foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. We find here that there's two very distinct groups of people who after baptism, they were joined together. God gave them and he gave us the word. He said, "Here's my commandments, now work it all out." But remember, as you work it out, there's some things that you need to keep in mind. And that's what I want us to look at today, is what this song that we just sang brings to my mind. Verse 1 says, or the first line, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love." First, I want us to look at what doesn't bind our hearts. First, it's friendship. You know, I'm sure each of us have had friends over the years that we have no idea where they're at now, what they're doing. Don't know if they're even still alive. Have worldly friends that sometimes are easily forgotten. You know, I'm sure each of us, and I know I have, I've run into people and we start talking about people we used to know. You start remembering the work relationships that you had, the friendships. And oftentimes those friendships were pretty good friends at the time. But over the years, you find that you don't have anything in common with them. Especially when you start trying to serve God, because they're still serving Satan. But isn't that what God tells us? 1 Peter 4:4. "Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." You know, when two people, friends, have different views in life, sometimes it just doesn't, there's nothing to hold you together. Marriage is not a tie that's going to hold us together. You know, look at the divorce rate today. It shows that marriage won't hold couples together. If you're relying on a piece of paper from the state of Ohio or any state to keep you together, I can tell you right now, you've got the wrong tie. Family. Physical families don't have the ties to overcome every obstacle. You know, and even in our Diane and I's family, there are members who don't talk to each other because of disagreements. And I'm sure our family is not any different than any of yours. You know, if I told you some of the things that, how silly they was that they disagreed, you'd laugh about it. and it would be funny if it really wasn't so serious. Those are just a couple things that are not the ties that hold us together. So the question is, what is the tie that binds us together? It's a tie that's not easily broken, not like the earthly and the social ties that we're just talking about. It's a tie that can't be broken by separation. Don't you know Christians that in other places that's either left here or they moved on or whatever the reason are, but they're still serving God? Don't you still feel connected to Him? Because the only thing that really separates you is just a few miles. You know, it brought back the memory of last year when we were in Missouri and hadn't seen Dave and Diane Robertson in so long. And when you run into them, it's just like you've never left them, because we still got that same tie. A tie that makes you feel the pain of Paul, 2 Corinthians 11, 24 and 25. He says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. Don't you feel the pain that Paul felt there? Because he was suffering for only one reason. He was trying to preach the gospel. The tie that should make you feel the pain that all the apostles went through just so that they could teach the gospel. The love that the early Christians had for Peter, as shown in Acts 12:5, it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church and to him and to God for him. A tie that's not broken by incompatibility. The apostles was a diverse group of people working with Christians who came from all walks of life. Not much different than here at Bath Road. But the concept is the same. God says, here's the Bible, figure it out. A tie that death cannot separate. Oh, the physical person might be gone. He might not be there, or she might not be there. But the memory and the lessons that we learn, they linger on. Hebrews 11:4 says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead, he yet speaketh. What we teach now in our lives are going to live on long after we're gone from this earth if we're trying to live a life that's pleasing to God. A tie of love that should not be easily broken. Notice that I said, should not be broken. Too many times it's broken because we truly don't love one another. Many times it's broken by misunderstandings. It's broken by a word spoken in haste. I've got several scriptures here that I'm just going to read. And as I read them, I want you to listen and see if you can pick out the tie that's in each of these verses. Colossians 3:14. And above all these things, put on charity or love, which is in the bond of perfectness. John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. John 15:12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Romans 13:8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And then finally, 1 John 3:23. And this is a commandment, that we should believe on the name of his, Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Did you figure it out? Could you hear? Could you understand what the tie is that should keep us together? A tie that's stronger than any chain or anything known to man. A love that can only come from God. 1 John 4:7-11. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifest, the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son to the world, that we might live through him. Therein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. A bond that is special to Christians, patterned after Christ's love toward us. So, once again, the question is, why is this bond so easily broken? Many years ago, Mark Hastings, he gave a lesson that's always kind of stuck with me. Excuse me. On problems that he had seen in the church over the years and why things oftentimes were never settled. And the next few points is things I think I've seen that causes our ties with each other to be broken. Things that causes us to put ourselves first. Matthew 15:8 says, "The people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." We talk about loving our brother. We just read several scriptures about how God wants us to treat our brethren. So why does it not happen sometimes? You know, this is my one story for the lesson. A pig and a chicken were walking down the road one day, and they were talking just about how good the farmer had been to them. And the chicken said to the pig, "Let's prepare a huge breakfast for the farmer." The chicken said, "We can have gravy." The pig said, "Yeah, that's great. We can have biscuits." "Oh, I love biscuits. That'll be good." The pig is saying, "Yeah, yeah, keep on coming. We can have eggs." Pig, once again, he's giving his amen. "We can have bacon, sausage, ham, a feast for a king." And the pig said, "Hold on just a minute." Because now the chicken was asking him to give his all, to give his life for another. And you know what? That's what God wants us. He wants our all, not only in our worship, but in the way we live, the way we treat each other. We have to be all in. God doesn't want us if we're just halfway. If we only want to have one foot in it, you might as well keep that one foot. Revelation 3:15-16 says, "I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot." I would that you were cold or hot. "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." 1 John 4:20, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" 1 Thessalonians 4:9, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another." Question is, do I put my brother before myself? Only when it doesn't interfere with what I want or what I want to do. Galatians 4:15, "Wherein is then thy blessedness you speak of? For I bear you record that you have been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me." How much did they love God, or Paul? He says enough. If they could have, they would have plucked out their own eyes, one of the most precious things we have, to give to Paul. That's how much we need to love each other, to be able to help one another, to be able to do whatever we can to help one another. Are we always going to agree on everything? No. That doesn't mean that we need to be hateful, hold grudges, be spiteful. You know, I think Paul was teaching us a very good lesson, 1 Corinthians 8:13. He says, "What for? If meat maketh my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend." Paul could have just as easily said, "There's nothing wrong with eating meat. You wouldn't be wrong in eating meat. Don't be concerned with eating meats." But he didn't do that. He taught us a lesson there that we need to be thankful for or thoughtful of the feelings of others and their spiritual convictions. God has given us the Bible, said, "Keep my commandments, but work out the details, keeping in your mind your love for each other." You know, there's a word that has done a whole lot of damage to relationships, a word that's not necessarily a negative word in itself, but honestly, I can't think of any other time it's been used as a positive word, and that word is a click. You hear this all the time. At least I do. You know, I've tried to figure the word out, and I can't. When does it become a click? If you like doing things with others, is that a click? Or if you like going fishing with someone else, is that a click? If you go on vacation with each other, is that a click? How many times do you do something before it becomes a click? I tell you, I just can't figure it out. But I tell you what I have figured out. Not on my own, because that's what God tells me. You see, this word, it turns into another word that God hates. And that's the word gossip. All too often, we try to figure out each other's motives, thoughts, without knowing the whole story. You know, that's when the trouble starts. Proverbs 6:19, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. An action that will break the tie that binds us, our love for each other, faster than anything. You know, God wants us to think the best about each other all the time. I think we owe that to each other, to think the best of one another. Don't you? You hear something bad and you have a choice. You either take the high road, which means I love you, I want to know the truth, and you seek to find the truth. Don't rush to a judgment. Don't be caught up in gossip. Be careful what we say and how we say it. Don't take the low road, believing everything that you might hear or something you want to hear. Proverbs 26:20-23. Where no wood is, there's a fire that goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down to the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. Look at the one next to you. The one in front of you. Aren't they special? Don't they deserve every bit of love that you can give them? Every bit of understanding that you can give them? It might not be today. It might not be next week or the week after. But someday you're going to look in front of you or beside you, and that person's not going to be there. Because sometime along the way, you will see them for the last time. True love doesn't falsely accuse or jump too quickly by words that are said. Remember the tie that binds us. And I'll tell you, even sometimes spreading the truth can be gossip if it's done in such a way as to hurt someone. Next part of the song, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. This tie involves a unity which Jesus prayed for. John 17:20-21. Neither pray I for thee alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. They that may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And also 1 Corinthians 12:25-27. That therefore should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. And where the one member suffereth, all members suffer. One member be honored, all members shall rejoice. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Also 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be of you of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courageous. Unity comes from studying God's word, understanding what the silence of God's word is, and knowing what he has to say about the subject. Unity takes positive attitudes. You know, I haven't heard this, but years past, I've heard that I don't think we have much zeal here at Bath Road anymore. Well, I don't believe that. Didn't believe it then, and if I heard it now, I wouldn't believe it now. Can we do more? Yes, we can. We can always do more. But this is what I see. I see Christians, new Christians, taking part in the services. New Christians getting up, teaching, preaching. Classes being held other places than here at the building. That's what I see. So no, I don't think enthusiasm's dead. You know, I've had ones in the past say, you know, I'm trying to set up studies or get ones to visit. If I can get them here, can I preach? Sure you could, because we encourage that. You know, this is a great group of Christians who I feel can help me get to heaven, and we can help each other. We can help each other make it. Can we do more? Yes. The day you quit, you think you can't do more. You need to better start thinking about it again. Can we work harder? Yes. Can we get along? Yes. So my thoughts is, let's just do it. You know, many will remember Frank Perkins. He preached here, been several years, probably more than several now. And one thing that always stuck in my mind that he would say, use me. I say the same thing to you. You want to set up a study? I'll be glad to help you if I can. Not just me, but there's many men here that would do that. You want to go visit the sick? I'll be glad to go with you. Want to go just visit? I'll be glad to. I really believe in my heart that if we work together before the year's end, we can bring someone to Christ. And not only that, before the year's out, if we really try, we can build each other up, which is what it's all about, helping each other. Well, what threatens this unity? This is my thought. You make up your own list. This is some things I thought of that will destroy unity. Putting my preference above your spiritual convictions. Not loving my brothers and sisters the way that I should. Evil surmising. Hatred. Trying to lord my wants over the flock. Gossip. Negativity. That's just a few. I'm sure that you can make your list a lot longer. But always remember one thing. Truth should never be sacrificed for the sake of unity. We could fill this building. I know we could. We could fill this building in a month if we went outside the commandments that God has given us. If we started doing things that are not scriptural, we would have to build on pretty soon. God gave us the word. He said, now work it out. But you work it out according to commandments that he's given you. Next part of the verse. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers. We are truly blessed to be able to approach God in prayer, to be able to thank him for the things and to ask him for the things that we need. I believe that God answers prayers. James 5:16. An effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that's what God tells us to do, to pray for one another. Acts 12:5. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And Acts 12:12. And when they had considered the thing, they came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, were there gathered together praying. You know, they were praying for Peter because, you know, a lot of times you went in those prisons, you didn't come out. But they knew and had the faith that God would take care of them. 1 Corinthians 12:26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or whether one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Do you suffer when your brother suffers? Either physically or possibly mentally. You will if you have the love of God wants you to have, if you have the concern for your brothers and your sisters that you need to have. Romans 1:9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit and the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. God wants us to pray for one another. Do we do that enough? Do we remember the things that our brothers and our sisters are going through? Acts 21:5, and when he had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. God doesn't always is telling us we need to pray for one another, and we need to make sure we try to do that. Prayer will strengthen the tie that we have for one another. Next part of the verse, our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our cares. We're to have the similar concerns and desires, or we have the similar concerns and desires. Some because we're simply humans sharing this time together in the world. We desire to be healthy, not to be touched with sickness. We want to enjoy the comforts of life. Maybe we fear joblessness or poverty. We share these things because we're human. But we share so many other things because we're fellow citizens in the kingdom of God. We share in the hope of a resurrection and eternal life. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning that which are asleep, for you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord Jesus will shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel and with the trump of the God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which were alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall ever be with the Lord. That's the hope that we all have. That's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. We all share in the same struggles against temptations, persecution. And I want to tell you, Satan doesn't leave any of us alone. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. But God doesn't leave us alone either. He's given us the Bible, and he's given us each other. next part of the verse. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear. As Christians, as I've mentioned earlier, we need to bear one another's burdens, no matter how big or how small. What doesn't seem much to you might seem as big as the highest mountain to your brothers or your sisters. Help them any way you can. Galatians 6, 1 through 12, or 1 through 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself also, or considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Next verse. And often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. You know, that's the way that God composed, brought us all together, so that we can help each other. Next part of the verse, when we asunder part, it gives us inward pain. We can see the example of the Ephesian elders, Acts 20, 36 through 38. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell upon Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. You know, the verse 38, think about that. They were so sorrowful because they weren't going to get to see him no more. As I said earlier, look to the person in front of you, beside you, around. Today could be the last day that you ever see that person alive. Their life could end, or your life could end. If you've never experienced the sorrow, then maybe we need to examine a little bit closer what the tie that binds, because we need to be thankful for each other and not take each other for granted. The final thought, but we shall be joined in heart and hope till we meet again. It is the hope which keeps our hearts joined together when everything else fails. Blessed be the tie, a beautiful song that describes our oneness in Christ, a beautiful song that expresses how we should truly feel for each other. I've got a lot out of that song. I hope it means something to you. If you've got any questions or anything about anything that I've said or done, please feel free to talk to me about it. Or if this time, the tie that binds you, you've walked away from some of it and it doesn't bind you the way that it should, and you've been baptized for forgiveness of your sin, now's the opportunity to come forward and get started again so that your brothers and your sisters here can help you if you're in need of it. Or if you've never obeyed the principles of Christ, never been baptized, and you don't have a lot of the hope and a lot of the ties that we spoke about this morning, whatever your needs might be, won't you come when we stand and sing?